cover sheet. Yes. There you go, everybody. I would like to dedicate this shiur to Iloi Nishmat Adele Bat Adva. I don't know, I hope many of you have been davening for her. She is was a 5-year-old, there have been differing reports, 4 or 5, who was in a rock throwing tech approximately 2 years ago, and Adele Bitone is her name, for those of you who might recognize it, and unfortunately lost her battle today. Her mother has been very, very vocal in the Israeli media in terms of rock throwing in general in Yehuda v'Shomron. And being as tonight's shiur is about simcha, and certainly as a mother, I recognize with tremendous hakarat hatov the simcha that children bring to our lives, and of course the loss of any Jewish life is tragic. This one obviously being particularly tragic, and so like I said, I'd like to dedicate tonight's limud l'iloi nishmata. As I said, I'd like to speak tonight, sorry to start on a downer, when I'm speaking about simcha, but I thought it appropriate to discuss the concept of simcha in Yahadut as we approach, we are now, I guess, just 2 days from Rosh Chodesh Adar, and we are all very familiar with Mishenichmas Adar Marbi Misimcha. And I'd like to, A, talk about what that means, and B, talk mamash tachlis. How do we bring that simcha into our lives? I'd like to give some practical suggestions. I'm sure everyone can think of some on their own. We're all very familiar with Mishenichnas Adar Marbi B'Simcha. If you're Zochev, Ezrat Hashem, to send your children to schools in Eretz Yisrael, that is what happens on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, where everyone erupts into song of Mishenichnas Adar Marbi B'Simcha, and they run from classroom to classroom, disrupting all the learning. And that's how the Simcha of Chodesh Adar begins. Yes? They do that in America too, no, right?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I'm confusing my own historical facts, but I think it happens here too. So the question is, of course, first of all, where does that come from? Mishenichnas Adar Marbi B'Simcha. So, great song, but of course, it's actually a piece of Gemara that appears in Masechet Ta'anit. And the key to understanding Mishenichnas Adar Marbi B'Simcha is actually to look at it in context. It is a half of a sentence. And I'd like to show you the full sentence in an attempt to understand what does the Gemara mean when the Gemara says, Mishenichnas Adar Marbi B'Simcha. The Gemara appears in front of you in Masechet Ta'anit, Daf Chaf Tet Amud Aleph, and the Gemara actually starts with the downside, Mishenichnas Av, Mima'atim B'Simcha V'Chule. That is less known, right? But is actually more halachically explained, right? We know that when Rosh Chodesh Av comes in, then all of the famously known halachot of the 9 days kick in, right? And we know, halacha l'maisa, what we need to do in order to be mima'it b'simcha, because again, of the dictive in the Gemara, to lessen our simcha with Rosh Chodesh Av. Amar Rav Yehuda, Bereid Rav Shmuel, etc. Kishem sheminichnas Av mima'atin b'simcha, kach mishenichnas Adar marbin b'simcha. So somehow we lose the whole first part. I guess nobody wants to walk around singing about how we are Mima'et B'Simcha and Rosh Chodesh Av, so we sort of leave that part out of the song. But as I said, it's really half a sentence. It's half of an equation set up by the Gemara. The Gemara makes it very clear. Kishem sheminichnas Av Mima'atim B'Simcha, the same way when Av comes in, we lessen our Simcha, so too, kach. Mishenichnas Adar Marbi B'Simcha. So too, in the same way, when Adar comes in, we increase our Simcha. So because of this equation, we are able to understand what do we need to do? What kind of simcha are we talking about? And in order to understand that, we just have to go to the other side of the equation. What does it mean, and why do we lessen our simcha when Rosh Chodesh Av comes in? What are we doing? Why are we sad? What are we mourning over? So of course we are mourning over the loss of the Beit HaMikdash, and sort of more, shall I say, specifically, you all know we're not mourning over the physical structure known as the Beit HaMikdash. Of course, certainly not exclusively. What we are really mourning over is the loss of Shechinat HaKadosh Baruch Hu from within us, not only from within the Beit HaMikdash. We didn't only lose Shechinat Hashem from the Beit HaMikdash itself, but of course, we lost HaKadosh Baruch Hu from within each and every one of us. We all know the famous vort, right? V'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'tocham, right? B'tocham means, according to the Midrash, not only in the Beit HaMikdash, but in the Beit HaMikdash in each and every one of us. And that is what we are mourning. Come Rosh Chodesh Av, we are mourning the loss of Shechinat Hashem from amongst us. And therefore, now flip it over to the other side of the equation. Kach, mishenichnas adar marbim b'simcha. So therefore, what are we talking about? What kind of simcha are we looking to achieve in Chodesh Adar? Where is our simcha going to come from? It's going to come from the very opposite. It's going to come from the return of the Shekhinah into each and every one of us. Which parashiyot are read in Chodesh Adar? What are we about to read? Okay, Truma, Tetzaveh, Kitisah, Ve'akel, Pekudeh are all read in Chodesh Adar. What are all those parashiyot about? The Mishkan. What was the Mishkan? The Mishkan, again, was one of these sort of representative places where Shechinat Hashem came down and dwelled amongst Bnei Yisrael. No different, of course, again, reflective of the mini Mikdash in each and every one of us. And that is the sort of goal of Mishenichnas Adar Rabbi Mitzimcha, again, as learned out from being the inverse of Chodesh Av, whereas we lost our connection to Shechinat Hashem in Chodesh Av, we are looking for the return of the Shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Chodesh Adar. And there is a famous bedrash. If you take a look, it's source number 2. Mashal Lemelech. That's in Shmot Rabbah. Mashal Lemelech Shehaya Lo Bat Yechida. We have a mashal brought down by the Midrash of a king who had one single daughter. Ba echad min hamlachim v'netla. Bikesh lilech lo la'atzo v'litod ishto. Comes along a prince from another nation and he sees the king's beautiful daughter and he is, of course, of royal descent and he wants to marry the king's daughter and, of course, he wants to take her back to his own kingdom. Amar lo, says the king, the father of this single daughter, Biti shenatati lecha yechiditi. This daughter that I'm giving to you, she is my single only daughter. Lifrosh mimena eini yechol. To leave her, I am incapable. I can't leave her. Lomar lecha al title eini yechol lefi shehi yeshtecha. I also can't tell you don't take her back to your homeland because after all, you're marrying her and she's now yours. Ela, zo tova aseli. Do me one favor, therefore, says the king. Shekol makom shata oleich, any place you go, kiton echad aseli. Make me a kiton, a chamber, a guest house. Build me an apartment next to wherever you will be, says the future father-in-law, the king of this single daughter. She'ador etzlechem, and I will live near you. She'eini yachol laniach et biti, because I cannot leave my daughter's side. And so too, similarly, kach amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu liYisrael. So too is the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael. Natati lachem et haTorah. I gave you, Bnei Yisrael, the Torah. Lifrosh imena ein yechol. I cannot separate from her, meaning from the Torah. Lomar lachem al titluha ein yechol. I also can't tell you, don't take her, because after all, I've given her the Torah to you. Ela bechol makom she'atem olchim, bayit echad asuli she'ador b'tocho she'ne'emar v'asuli mitad. Therefore, it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu kivyachol in this mashal, I can't leave the Torah, I can't leave you alone with my Torah, and therefore, wherever you go, always have a chamber, wherever you will be, have a chamber where I can come to, where I can live near my beloved child. And that is, by the way, according to the Sfat Emet, that's what Chodesh Adar, the word Adar comes from, Aleph Dar, Adur Etzlecha, I will live. Aleph, Hashem, Ani, the one, Dar, will live where? Is looking to live within each and every one of us. And that again is what Chodesh Adar is about, the Hitchabrut between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael. And the question is, of course, why? Why Chodesh Adar specifically? Why is this time of year that we are about to come into? Why is this time of year specified as the time of year where we work on our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Where we gun for this element of Simcha, which we see is born out of a closeness to Kvodo V'atzmo. And if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi has a very short board, Mishenichnas Adar, Yimei Nisim Hayul Yisrael, Purim VePesach. Why is Chodesh Adar chosen as the time of year to work on our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because of the Nisim that happened on Purim and Pesach. And it is beyond the scope of our discussion here tonight to answer this major question of why Rashi brings in Chag HaPesach, which happened in Chodesh Nisan. Okay, that's a whole vort unto itself and the connection between Purim and Pesach. But Rashi is clearly saying that there's something about a time of Nisim. We are entering into a time of Nes, a time in Jewish history on the calendar that when the greatest Nisim v'Niflaos happened to Bnei Yisrael, and therefore that indicates to us that this is the time to work on our relationship with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My kesher, what's the kesher between Nes and our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Between Nes and bringing Shechinat Hashem to us. What's the connection? Yes, go ahead. Thank you, Jasmine.
Nes is God revealing himself.
So okay.
A 100%.
When HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down and openly displays his love for Klal Yisrael and openly swoops down and saves us from the hands of Haman. Maybe not so openly, okay, but us educated readers of the story of Esther really know who was calling the shots. Right? And again, if we want to even go further with Rashi into Pesach, obviously the most obvious Nes in Jewish history, we know that Rashi explains that the word Nes, a Nes is called a Nes because what is a Nes? That didn't make very much sense. What is a Nes? A Nes is, correct, Asa, a Nes is a banner, right? Everybody knows that the Hebrew word for banner is Nes. Why is a nes called a nes? What's the connection between a banner and a nes? Because a banner, or I should say a nes, is an obvious banner of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's interaction, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's connection to human beings, right? To Klal Yisrael. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu standing up and waving his flag, showing the world what he can and will do for Klal Yisrael. The Ramban actually says that the root of the word nisayon is also nes. Back in Sefer Bereishit, when the Torah tells us Elokim nisat Abraham. So what does the Ramban say there? Why does the Torah use the word nisa? Because there too, any nisayon, the way in which we react, the way in which the human being reacts to nisayon, that too is a banner. That too is an outward reflection of my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How far am I willing to go? And therefore, when we find ourselves in a situation of nisayon, so again, that too is a form of nace. That too is a form of banner where we are able, hopefully, to display, again, how far we are willing to go for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we also, by the way, see a reference. It's mentioned in the Gemara, but if you look thematically at Megillat Esther in its entirety, it's introduced in Masech Megillah, source number 3. Rav Masna Amar Mihacha. The Gemara lists here all sorts of thematic ideas in the Megillah, and the way that these themes emerge in this part of Masechet Megillah is each Rav in the time of the Gemara used to give a drush on the Megillah. And each one had a different angle, a different theme by which he presented the Megillah. And what was the theme of Rav Masna? What did he say? Amar Mihacha, what was his opening sort of thematic presentation of Megillat Esther? Ki mi goy gadol asher lo Elohim krovim elav. Who is like Klal Yisrael for whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close to? Unlike we know in the Megillah itself, when Haman describes Bnei Yisrael, what does he say? Yeshno, am echad, mefurad u'mefuzar bein ha'amim, right? You get the sense that it's the forgotten, scattered nation that has gotten swallowed up by all the other surrounding nations. No, says Rav Masna, the opposite is actually true. Quoting a pasuk from Sefer Bamidbar, ki mi goy gadol shelo elokim krovim elav. This is a nation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always close to. This is a nation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never leaves. And in fact, thematically, what do we see in Megillat Esther? That in fact is true. It might seem that Klal Yisrael is scattered and perhaps even forgotten. But of course, by the end of the story, we see, in fact, just how close HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. And so the Megillah itself, and the month, and its name, all sort of direct us into this mindset of now. Literally, now, in 48 hours, begins the time of year where we work on our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And not only do we work on our relationship, but we also do so to achieve a certain level of simcha. It's the time where we focus on our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu via this mechanism known as simcha. And the question, of course, is how do we go about doing so? So we know, of course, again, going back to all of, our elementary school days, right? That's where Adar gets a reputation for being a time of shtick and a time of fun and a time of jokes because of its connection to Simcha. But I don't really think that that's what the Gemara meant when the Gemara said, Mishenichnas Adar marbim Simcha. We're really talking about Simcha that emerges from our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I'd like to suggest three ways in which each and every one of us can come to this kind of connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and experience this level of Simcha referred to by the Gemara. The first actually is rooted in a parsha that we read not that long ago. If you recall, when Yitro found out about all of the nisim v'niflos that happened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah tells us, and you have it in front of you in source number 4, Sefer Shmuel, Perek Yud-Chet, Pasuk Tet, Vayichad Yitro al kol ha-tova asher asa Hashem Yisrael, asher hitzilo miyad Mitzrayim. Yitro, Vayichad. What does that mean, Vayichad? Yes, Rashi says Yitro was happy, right? We'll talk about that. But Vayichad Yitro al kol ha-tova asher asa Hashem Yisrael. Yitro had this reaction because of all that was done to Klal Yisrael. And if you take a look in Rashi, which you have in front of you, Rashi actually gives two differing opinions as to what Vayichad Yitro actually means. By the way, Vayichad Yitro is perhaps one of the most famous Hapix Legomenons in Tanakh. Everybody knows that word, right? Because it makes everybody sound very smart. Yes? A Hapix Legomenon is a root that appears in Tanakh how many times? Once. And of course, that often makes it very difficult to explain because we have no parallel references to it. So this is a very famous Hapix Legomenon. Vayichad Yitro. What does this word Vayichad mean? And Rashi answers number one, Vayismach Yitro. Zeu pshuto. Rashi says the pshat of the pasuk is Yitro was happy. What was Yitro happy about? What does the pasuk say? Vayichad Yitro, kol tova. So Yitro was happy for all of the good things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to Bnei Yisrael, comma, that they were saved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the Mitzri. That's answer number one. Umedrasho, continues Rashi, na'aseh b'saro chadudin chadudin, miyatzer al ibud Mitzrayim. What's the second explanation of Rashi? Vayichad Yitro. His skin was, I would make it stronger. We'll even call today pins and needles, probably, from the word Vayichad, meaning Chad is sharp, right? How do you say pencil sharpener in Hebrew? Mechadeid, right? So his skin, he felt chadudin, chadudin. He felt prickly. He felt pain about what? Mietzer al ibud Mitzrayim. He was pained about the loss of Mitzrayim. By the way, everybody remember the Midrash? Who was Yitro really? Yitro worked in the palace of Paro. Yitro, according to the Midrash, probably from here, was an advisor to Paro. And so, what did he experience with the downfall of Mitzrayim? He experienced the entire destruction of his entire cultural history. Went down into the Amsuf. And so, Vayichad Yitro, in the second definition, means the total opposite. So which one was it? Was Yitro actually happy about what occurred to Bnei Yisrael? What is Vayichad Yitro? By the way, if Vayichad Yitro means Vayismach Yitro, what's the connection linguistically between Vayichad and Vayismach? How are the two connected? Chet Dalet would come from? Chedva, right? Chedva, the first two letters of Chedva, Vayichad Yitro. Everybody get it? Aside from my nice little jingle, yes? So Vayichad Yitro comes from happiness. Was Yitro happy? Or was he pained? Which one is true? And if he were pained, then what was he coming to join Klal Yisrael for? So there's a huge contradiction here. What's the answer? Oh, good. Excellent. You are correct, Eliza. He was both. This is a famous pshat in the Gur Aryeh. It's not a stira. Yitro was both. Yitro was very distraught by what happened to his own people. And yet, at the same time, Vayismach Yitro for all of the tova that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to Klal Yisrael. How could you be both at the same time? Well, sometimes we feel one way, right? But we know another. Meaning, obviously Yitro felt pain at the destruction of his own people and at the destruction of his own history. That's in his heart, but in his mind, Vayismach Yitro. Yitro understood that this had to happen to his people, that this is what his people deserve. And this is sort of alluded to in the Baal HaTurim. If you take a look in the little tiny Baal HaTurim, Vayichad Yitro, Sheichad Libo Lekel Echad V'Na'aseh Yehudi. Fascinating lashon of the Baal HaTurim. Says the Baal HaTurim, Yichei libo lekel echad. What happens to Yitro in this experience? He experiences two diverse emotions, and somehow they are merged together, and he becomes this paradigmatic Jew. Remember, this is his conversion process. What makes a Jew, according to this Baal HaTurim? When somehow, somewhere, your heart and your mind click. When what you know in your head to be true actually jives with what you feel in your heart. And that is Vayichad Yitro, says the Gur Aryeh, that is what Simcha is. That is what the Simcha of a Jew is. Of Ivdu et Hashem b'simcha means literally, when you're able to be a true Eved Hashem, like the Baal HaTurim says, when you're able to be a Yehudi, which is defined by being an Eved Hashem, because your heart and your mind are working together. And that was what Yitro experienced. Again, these two divergent emotions, which somehow click together and make sense for Yitro and make him experience what being a Jew is all about. And that, my friends, for me, is suggestion number one. How does each and every one of us go about achieving true simcha at this particular moment in our historical calendar? The time has come to make our hearts and minds work together. So many of us have spent so much time thinking, analyzing, talking, discussing, asking, and all of those things are, of course, amazingly important for our growth and for certainly our Avodas Hashem. But what has to accompany all of that thinking, head work, asking, etc., is it all has to click together. Where we have to sort of put our hearts where our minds are, or maybe put our hearts where our heads are, whichever one we're struggling with more. But being an Eved Hashem b'simcha means putting those two elements together. And not only knowing what's right, as Yitro did, but also acting on what's right. Taking that understanding to the level of action so that, again, my heart and my head are working together. That is derech number one that I suggest as a method for happiness, for experiencing Shechinat Hashem, for elevating our level of Avodat Hashem to a level of simcha. Sort of bridging from that, because I think one could ask, that's a lovely idea, but how does one make that happen? How does one merge the heart and the mind to work together? And I think it's alluded to, or one can sort of see it, in the piece of Alei Shur that's in front of you. Source number 5, Shamayim va'aretz, ish v'isha, neshama v'guf, nigudim heim. The world is full of opposing forces. Heavens and earth, male, female, spiritual, physical. Lo tamid heim nisharim nigudim. However, they do not always remain polar opposites. Yesha mashpiim zal zel tova. There are times when they interact with each other by influencing each other positively. V'yesh shemitachdim lagamrei, and there are times when they work so harmoniously together that these opposing elements actually become unified. B'chol hitkashrut hanigudim yesh simcha. Whenever, says the Alei Shur, for those of you who learn Alei Shur, and I highly encourage you to do so, these are very, very lofty ideas that require a lot of thought and proof, which he does, of course, a fabulous job about. He says when two opposing elements in the world come together, that is the creation of simcha. V'ze mikoma umahuta shel ha-simcha. Simcha in our world, and certainly in our religion, is defined when two opposing concepts come together. Bechol makom shehi nimtzeit, yesh hitkashrut et hitachdut. Whenever we see two opposing elements come together in the world, That is this unifying force. And what is this unifying force? I want to skip down a paragraph. Simcha shel mitzvah hi simchat ha'adam ha'mitkasher im boro al yedei ha'mitzvah. Sort of going back to our first definition of simcha. When Shechinat Hashem meets man, when mortal meets immortal, two opposing forces, when those two come together, what is created? Simcha. Al ha-Torah omro b'yom chatunato ze Sinai u'b'yom simchat libo elu divrei Torah. B'Sinai yistavei kivyachol ha-Kadosh Baruch Hu im Yisrael al yidei matan Torah. What's the glue? What is the driving force that holds the two opposing forces, mortal and immortal, man and God together? Torah. Zo chatunato v'zo simchato. Gam be'avodat beit hamikdash yesh hitachdut haklal Yisrael im HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Same idea. Skip down again. Second line in the last paragraph. Upashutu kichol hasmachot ha'elu einan ba'ot mimeila. The glue, these two opposing forces being held together, doesn't happen stam. Rather, ki ein hitachdut v'hitkashrut b'li da'at. What is the necessary element to hold these forces together? Knowledge. What kind of knowledge, obviously? Torah knowledge. לכן נאמר בתוכך בכתבו תחת אשר לא עבדת את השם אלוקיך בשמחה ובטוב לבב מרוב כל. What is necessary again to be successful in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? This is the inverse, this is what happens if it's not. It's this התקשרות to Hashem, and that is שמחה. אך שמחה של דעתם, on the last sentence, לא תבוא ממילא. This kind of hitchabrut between opposing forces does not happen from nothing. V'tzrichim lihit lameid keitzad lahagia eleha. We must lihit lameid, turn ourselves into students. We need to become talmidim and talmidot of course, Torah, in order to experience this simcha. Rav David Lipschitz was famous for putting the following signs around his yeshiva when Chodesh Adar approached. Who remembers this logical sequence from, I think, high school? When you have A equals B, and B equals C, right? A equals C, yes? Everybody remember that? So I just want to make sure now I don't make any mistakes. Okay, so here is what he used to put up. Watch this, okay? Mi shenichnas adar marbin b'simcha. Says the Gemara, ein simcha feshet ela batorah. And therefore, mi shenichnas adar marbin b'torah. And then, of course, he used to add the chol hamarbeh, hareza meshubach. And that is what Rav David Lipschitz, while everybody else is out there making shtick, Rav David Lipschitz used to hang these signs to remind everybody, where does the true simcha come from? True simcha comes from limud Torah. How do you achieve simcha in this world? It's the da'at that one must attain in order to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu closer to me. How do I bring the Shekhinah back into me? Very pashut, Torah. And so what is yet another way in which to ramp up my relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? To be mityached myself with the one above during Chodesh Adar, what am I going to do? I'm going to learn Torah. That's how I bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu closer to me, is of course through Limud HaTorah. I'd like to suggest one last, perhaps, way. We've already done possibility number one is, of course, putting our hearts and our minds together. They're not exclusive, by the way. You could try all three. Number two is learning Torah to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu closer to us. Possibility number three comes from a slightly different angle on the concept of Simcha, which is also rooted in the halachot of Purim. If you flip over your page, the Rambam in the Hilchot Megillah paskens the following. We're all very famous with this. We're very familiar with this psak. Mutav la'adam la'arbot b'matnot evyonim mi la'arbot b'sudato u'bishloch manot l'reyav. The Rambam says, where should I spend? And by the way, let's recall this, please, when it comes halacha l'maisa. Where should I spend the most money? On Purim, on which of the four mitzvot of Purim? Matanot le'evyonim. Not on mishloach manot, my friends. It's not who can give the biggest basket, because that really doesn't matter, la'alacha. Says the Rambam, I spend the most money on Purim, on matanot le'evyonim. More than I spend on my suda, more than I spend on mishloach manot. Why? She'ein sham simcha gidola umfuara ela lesameach lev aniim v'yitomim v'almanot v'geirim. Because there is no greater, there is no truer simcha than bringing simcha to somebody else who needs it. Here in our case, in the Rambam, to aniim, yitomim, etc. Shehamesameach lev haumlalim ha'elu domeh lishchina. Because one who gives to other people in need, that person is emulating the Shechina. I am behaving exactly the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu behaves. HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps others in need, I help others in need. And that, says the Rambam, is the greatest way to fulfill Simcha. That is the greatest way to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is to act like Him. And how does one achieve that in our case? It's to bring Simcha to other people. And there's an amazing concept in Halakha. There is, of course, the famously known measurement of a tefach. What's a tefach? How do we measure a tefach? A tefach is four tightly squeezed fingers. Yes? That's a tefach. We can argue whether that's, of course, length and width. Okay, but it's measured by four tightly squeezed, meaning four touching fingers. There is yet another measurement in Halakha. It appears in a few places, but one of those places is by Hilchos Sukkah. And that is called, and you have it in front of you in the last words, a tefach sochek. It is a happy tefach. It's a laughing tefach. And how does one define this laughing or happy tefach? Says Rashi, modidin be'arbe etzba'ot, She'inan nogot zo bazo. Dahave tefach v'mashu. What's a tefach sochek? How is it measured? You spread your fingers a little bit apart. It's a tefach plus. It's what we would call a generous cup of flour. An overflowing tablespoon of sugar. Right? It's a tefach plus a little extra more. And it's called, in halacha, a tefach sochek. It's a laughing tefach. It's a happy tefach. What makes it happy? It overflows. It gives to other people. It's more. It's generous. Once again, not surprisingly, we read Parshat Shkalim is again associated with Chodesh Adar, with Shabbat Mevarchim Adar. Why? Because it's again the ability to give to a greater cause. And that is yet a third potential way to achieve this simcha experienced by, that can be experienced by all of us. How do we get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We emulate His ways. We give to those in need. We make sure that other people are happy, because simcha is not really about my simcha. Simcha is about someone else's simcha. This brings to mind a vort that I've heard multiple times from Rav Goldlich Shlita, who, and I forget who, I've heard it so many times I should really know by now who he quotes it, in the name of whom. But he says, he has a vort, Ezeu Ashir Hasameach Bechelko. And how do we, of course, always explain that? Ezeu Ashir, who is rich? Hasameach Bechelko, who is happy for what he has. Says Rav Goldlich, no. Ezeu Ashir Hasameach Bechelko. Someone who is happy for what, not what I have. It's, I'm happy for what you have. I'm happy for the portion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you. So much so that I'll even go out of my way to make sure that you will be happy with your portion. Why? Because that makes me rich. Ezeu Ashir Hasameach Bechelko. I become rich by making sure that you are Sameach with your Chelek. And that is the third, again, potential way in which we can become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is by not focusing on my own simcha. It's by focusing on my friend's simcha, bringing simcha to other people. That is the way we bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu closer to us, because that is the way in which we emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So we have now, as we literally approach Chodesh Adar, three different ways in which we can potentially up our own ante of Simcha and experience the Simcha that the Gemara is referring to, of bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu closer to each and every one of us. This topic, I guess, has particular meaning to me personally. My little baby, who's not a baby anymore, who has now turned one, her name, as you all know, is Itia, and she was born on Hadar. And why did we name her Itia? Because Chodesh Adar is a month in which we feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. Itia, hence her name. That is the goal. To reach the level of feeling HaKadosh Baruch Hu within each and every one of us, and experiencing the true simcha of Chodesh Adar. I wish everyone a Chodesh Adar filled with very true simcha. Have an Erev Tov, everybody.